world's 3D. I think in 3D. Why on earth would I do things in 2D?
Hello, innovators. I'm Todd Wyant, and welcome to the Bridging the Gap podcast, presented by Applied Software Great Tech Group. You're invited to join our conversation to model the future of construction innovation and the digital transformation adventure of this great industry. My guest today is Jonathan Jasinski. For over a decade, he has been with Mezzanese by Design. With a passion for precision, he has dedicated 13 years to crafting structures that are not only functional, but innovative. Welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So I always like to kind of hear people's origin stories. So how'd you get into the construction industry?
I grew up in it. My dad was a drywaller and remodel and painters. I've been around new construction remodel my entire life. But I went to school for mechanical engineering because I like steel a lot more than wood. And got my degree from Texas Tech in oddly mechanical engineering and not structural, but here we are. And after I graduated, got this first job out of college and been here ever since.
Nice. What led you over to the structural side?
If I'm being honest, they hired me. But also,
so it's a good reason.
But also, the structural part just plays right into exactly the things I like. I was always a kid growing up with Erector sets and Legos and putting stuff together, and that's basically structural engineering to a large degree, at least from the fabrication side, which is what I work very closely with. Lots of nuts and bolts and washers and anchors and putting stuff together, and just instead of little tiny Lego pieces, they're giant steel items.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I know you were kind of an early adopter of BIM as well too. What advantage did you see that kind of prompted you into incorporating it into your practices even before it became more mainstream and kind of became cool?
Well, this is where my mechanical engineering side really plays in, because we did everything mostly in 3D, especially with the CAD stuff that we use. It was all 3D. So that's just what I was accustomed to. I think my phrasing in the past was, the world's 3D, I think in 3D, why on earth would I do things in 2D? Doesn't make sense. So we just went straight for 3D. And at the time, Mezzanese by Design hired me. They had just started using advanced steel, and they were coming into the 3D realm. And I was already there, ready to go straight out of school, because that's just the way my brain works. And fortunately, we found several customers that also worked in 3D with their other mechanical things that they were going to be putting on top of the platforms. And we were able to collaborate very quickly and easily with them. Hey, shift this mounting point 3 inches to the right, move this down, and all that stuff. So as far as collaboration goes, it's paramount to what we do. And it's one of our main selling features, is we can work with you on designing whatever the heck you want.
Did you notice in those early days any mindset shift or can change management perceptions that needed to take place for people to really snap into 3D, or because everybody was so eager, were they ready and on board?
In the office here at the company, it was pretty straightforward. Everybody saw the great value with it right off the hop. So that wasn't too difficult of a change. The harder change was actually our customers. So many of them were just using 2D plans and just maybe a quick sketch. Like, yeah, that's not really how we work. I don't work in quick sketches. I'll get you a model, and thanks to advanced steel, really fast, and get something working. So we're talking more meaningfully than just, it's a rectangle. Yeah, but it's a cube.
Yeah. Nice. So you brought up advanced steel. How are you really leveraging advanced steel and the Graytex Power Pack for advanced steel on your projects? How do you manage all the software aspect?
We pretty much exclusively use advanced steel. The only things that we don't use it for right now are material takeoff, because it can't, but we're actually slowly implementing Advanced Workshop as well. That's still in the works. So that'll help out with the shop management side, as well as material takeoff and all those things. But my day-to-day is 90% in advanced steel, as is the rest of our engineering department. Almost all of us exclusively work in advanced steel. We'll dabble in a little bit of RISA if we need to do some analyses, and MATCAD, whatever we want to just feel very nerdy, but mostly advanced steel. This morning I was working on a whole different model from the model I was working on yesterday. It's different from the one before that. So it's great. And then the power pack, especially the thing I use in the power pack the most, is for the diamond plate on our decks, because it allows us to bolt directly to our I-beams and whatnot and split the plates where we need to. It saves me a lot of time than having to manually place 3,000 bolts. No, thank you. I've done it. No, thank you.
Nice. That's for past Jonathan, not current exactly. Jonathan, huh?
Yes.
How do you really view the different technologies, like Revit, Advanced Steel? How do you integrate them and really bring them in to complement each other in your projects?
So fortunately, we don't deal a whole lot with customers that are already using Revit. We can, and we have in the past. It's not something that we do frequently. Anytime the customer supplies us a model of either their equipment, or this is what we'd like the platform to look like, or these are your constraints, or this is the building it's going to fit in, we're able to easily get that in Advanced Steel and allow the communication back and forth to be a lot smoother and clearer, so that there's no confusion of, oh, this is actually 3 feet from this building column instead of 6 feet that you have shown. Oh, that's an easy move. Let's get that sorted.
Walk me through the journey that you guys take from design all the way to fabrication at Mezzanines by Design. How do you ensure those kind of smooth transitions between the different phases?
Well, what's very helpful is that we do everything in-house. So not only do we do your initial design, but the engineering and then the fabrication and the detailing and everything is all done in these four walls. As far as our process goes, we've worked with as little as a napkin sketch, or you can just verbally tell us, but we conceptually take the design that you're looking for the platform that you want to suit your needs, whatever they may be. And we'll start by getting a rough design and working back and forth and making a fully fleshed out model that everybody's happy with. Everybody knows exactly what's going on. Your equipment works, we're dodging building columns, whatever the needs may be. And then we'll make some drawings for you to officially approve and then get our PE stamped. And we have full control over the fabrication as well. And we're an AISC certified fabricator. So for our customers, we're a one-stop shop. From concept to, I have a mezzanine in my building.
The shop is, you said, 20 feet away. How long has the shop been right there? Have you guys had the facility for a while,
new? Ever since we started doing mezzanines, shop was there. This original company didn't start doing mezzanines until about 2 years before I got here, 15 years ago. But ever since then, it's just been flat out mezzanines, and we fabricate them all in-house. Right over there.
So what kind of advantage do you think that it gives you to be kind of the one-stop shop for your customers?
Oh, the control specifically of the actual fabrication itself, as well as scheduling. If a customer needs something ASAP, we can knock it out. We're not having to talk to a third-party fabricator. Or if something happens to be wrong, God forbid, we can turn around and get it out to them instantaneously. We drop everything and get those kinds of situations rectified very quickly. It's really handy to have a shop right there.
Yeah. It helps with the collaboration too, I imagine, dramatically between the detailers and the people out in the shop.
This oftentimes will be detailing, or I should say drafting, something that's pretty complex. And we'll often go out to the shop and get the foreman's input. Like, we're trying to show this, what's the best way for you and your guys to see it and understand it, so you're making it how it needs to. I mean, even simpler things like, for this weld, do you want it to be back gouged? Do you want to throw a backing bar? What works best for what they have out there? We'll get feedback on that before we make our first print out to them, so there's no reprints or anything like that.
Yeah, very cool. So managing the sign-offs from and various stakeholders is always a challenge. How do you guys navigate this process to be more efficient?
Efficient is a bit of a strong word for the way we do it. It's a lot of emails and sign off, thus the official, what we call approval drawings. A lot of people call them shop drawings. But we have an official set that we send out that I loathe the term approved as noted. I hate that term. I will make the changes and get you new drawings. I want to see that approved as shown.
Yeah.
sign off with a name and a date. And great. Then we're all full throttle. Let's go. And then, like I said, we have a company that we contract with that does our actual stamping. They just certify our design. They're not in charge of where things fall or the structural. They just want to make sure it's going to work exactly how it needs to and mm-hmm. stand up. So they sign off on our design. So we have the approval drawings that the customer says, good. And then we have the PE drawings, which are those with making sure it's going to stand up and not fall over. And once both of those give us the green light, it's straight to the shop.
So let's kind of shift gears a bit, go into some automation. It's a mm-hmm. significant, huge aspect of modern engineering and where we're going. How have you all integrated automation into your workflow?
We have several in-house built tools that we use between spreadsheets and custom software and our libraries in Advanced Steel, which are hugely helpful to just our detail styles and things like that, just to speed up the process. Mm-hmm. As far as on the front end, a lot of that stuff is in spreadsheets and code and software. On the fabrication side, we have several, our plasma machine, instead of hand cutting plates or cutting from flat bar, we have a beam line that we recently got, which is very helpful. That's very helpful. But again, we're a relatively small footprint of a shop, so fabrication side is still fairly manual, but all of our customers are always very surprised when they see how small physically of a shop we are versus the tonnage that we put out. As far as automation goes, we're relatively manual, except for the Advanced Steel stuff. We try to optimize and automate that as much as possible.
Interesting. What does that look like for Advanced Steel?
Oh, simple, easy things. For a lot of our platforms, they start off as a rectangular close enough. And I have a script that I can run that just draws in all of the columns and beams to start with. And mm-hmm. then I'll go through sizing and connecting and everything. The libraries for each of the connections, just being one click and it's done. Great. All the different PowerPack tools, stairs, railings. Our customers love our railings and they are robust, to say the least. So all the fancy railing stuff that both the PowerPack and Advanced Steel natively have is invaluable for what we do.
Bridging the Gap is powered by Graytech Group. As a global BIM and modeling expert, Graytech is dedicated to empowering construction and manufacturing professionals to digitize and industrialize their processes to improve performance and build a sustainable tomorrow. With more than 30 years in the industry, they know how to be your partner in a world where change is the new normal, and always strive to enable their customers to gain an increased competitive advantage to model the future. Visit graytech-group.com for more information. That's awesome. So let's kind of future cast for a second. Technology evolving at such a rapid clip. What do you see as the future of technology for steel detailing, and where's the tech going?
They've said for years now that eventually paper drawings are going to go away. And I think that may be true, but those years are very far off. I think that the future is going to be less physical paper, but drawings are still needed. You'll likely start seeing computer stations at welding stations instead of paper drawings, or even the assembly model on that screen where the welder can take whatever dimensions they want. I think that's going to be a thing. So at NASCC, the entire robots that'll fit and weld a whole piece out for you with one person just running it and pulling the information straight from the model itself. I think a more direct line between fabrication and the model is going to be where you see optimization completely away for legal reasons. But that they're going to dwindle in needed information because it's in the model somewhere versus it's on the drawing.
What kind of timeline do you think?
Probably 15 to 20 years for that to fully really? Okay. Take hold. It's going to take a bit, specifically the fabrication side, tend to be a little slower at adopting new technology like that. Some aren't. And I applaud those who are trying to stay at the cutting edge. But it's a relatively old school industry, and they're coming around though. BIM is helping a lot.
Yeah, for sure. So on the technology side, the next big wave coming at us is around AI. Where do you see that fitting into the future scape of technology?
I was actually talking with a colleague at NASCC about this. Honestly, I think that the next leap for AI for our detailing specifically is the fabrication drawing generation. I don't think the drawings are going to go away quickly, but something that's an intermediary is AI generating dimensions, the details on the drawings that are going to go out to the shop that the customers see, because it just would work very easily and save a lot of time, because those can be fairly easily rule driven, but also needs a little bit of creativity as far as what needs to be shown. I don't think it'll fully replace, but I think it'll do a lot of heavy lifting when it comes to the drafting portion of our approval drawings or our fabrication drawings.
Yeah, for sure. One of the big hotly debated topics when it comes to AI is that threat versus opportunity. Mm-hmm. What's your gauge on AI, threat versus opportunity?
The current AI that we're seeing, a lot of the chat GPT style, Gemini, mm-hmm. or formerly Bard or Copilot, I'm not 100% versed. But as far as I understand, those are reinforcement learning. They're learning from what already exists. They're not synthesizing new knowledge. Mm-hmm. I'm not terribly concerned about learning from what already exists because it already exists. I don't necessarily like the generative stuff, specifically when it comes to things like movies. For structural stuff, well, they've had CAD generative stuff for years. I remember seeing even in Inventor, the generative design to do supportive structures and shapes based on the stress analyses, things like that. I think that's great, and that helps optimize both material usage and stability and strength. And that it still needs to be refined to actually be, you know, makeable. But it's definitely a useful tool, providing it has just a wee bit of human going, that's not quite what I'm looking for, or that's not quite easy enough to fabricate or make, or it's a little far-fetched. Let's see if we can't simplify this by making a few concessions here and there.
Yeah.
It's not able to make those decisions. It just says, this is your best option based on the info.
Yeah. I'm a big believer in that it takes a partnership. If you're going to leverage AI, then it does some really cool stuff. It can give you a ton of great options, but it for sure is a partnership with a human looking at it and giving that critical thinking and going, yes, but let's do it this way, or, you know, we can tweak it this way, or it's a great jumping off point to get an idea going.
Exactly.
Yeah. In this context of new tech coming, new software coming out all the time, how important is it for you on the continuous learning side and the adoption side for you and your team?
Oh, we try to stay as cutting edge as we can. I'm always reading magazines and looking at articles and trying to stay as close to the cutting edge as feasible for what we do. Saw a lot of cool toys, at ASCC. That was a lot of fun. A bunch of new stuff coming out. We try to stay at the top, at the forefront as best we can, but we're a relatively small company, so big investment stuff is difficult to justify sometimes.
Yeah, sure. How do you balance the traditional detailing methods with new technological advancements just kind of in your daily operation?
We like to use the nice new tools, mm-hmm. But our old standby is the paper drawing. It's so reliable, and especially as a record. Like I said, we are an AISC certified fabricator, so we have to have that paper record that's signed off with somebody's signature. The detailing side is very helpful, and it speeds things up quite a bit, to the point of we can backlog the shop pretty easily, as long as we have the work to do it. It's a gauge of how efficient can we get versus how efficient do we actually need, just with the volume of workflow.
Yeah.
Which the answer is always give me more work, but you know how that goes.
I think that's a smart statement. How efficient can we get versus how efficient do we actually need to be? I like that. That's a good one. Shifting gears a bit, can you talk about the kind of the partnership that you've had with Graytech and how's working with them really influenced projects or kind of company direction, or what's that look like?
It's been really great. Specifically, Tommy, we've been working with a lot and implementing the advanced workshop stuff. It should be up and running here any day now. And just using that to accurately, as they say, simulate what happens in the shop and get accurate information back from the shop with the touch boxes and everything is going to be invaluable. Zeroing in on the actual costs for a project. which is something that we have a good idea about. We're always trying to get it more and more exact through the whole process. It's been great with the advanced workshop stuff. The power pack is invaluable for what we do. I couldn't imagine trying to, well, I can because I used to, but I don't anymore. Do things like the diamond plate or even just editing a whole bunch of joints all at once instead of having to do them one at a time for a very large project that would take several hours. And now it's done very quickly. Very happy about that. Seemingly simple things like adding kick plate to grating. If you have to do it manually, you can. It's just tedious.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like doing tedious things.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Good to hear. As we start to kind of land the plane, a couple rapid fire questions for you.
Bring it on.
What does the phrase modeling the future, what does that mean and look like to you?
Modeling the future. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess for what I do, it's just a more strict adherence and more wide adoption to three-dimensional modeling itself instead of sticking with paper drawings or even two-dimensional drafting to generate structures of all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
We live in 3D, not 2.
Innovation, what does that mean to you?
New ideas, new concepts, and taking something previously thought impossible and making it possible through some creative means.
I like it. How do people find out more information on what's going on with Mezzanines by Design and connect with you?
Check out mezzaninesbydesign.com. We are real creative in that name. I know it's long, but it's there. You can see a bunch of past projects. You can get in touch with us if you need any platforms for any reason. Fully custom and designed and fabricated here in the U.S.
Awesome. Well, final question for you. If I could give you all power, you could snap your fingers and innovate one thing in the industry, what would you pick to innovate?
From start to finish, everybody using the same three-dimensional model at the same time.
Mm, that's a good one.
Including erectors.
Snap, snap. Ooh,
yeah,
we got it. I like it.
Well, it's Jonathan, done, right?
That's right. You wished it. You know, you had the power. Jonathan, thanks so much for taking the time and joining the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Bridging the Gap is hosted, directed, and produced by Todd Wyant, edited and produced by Eric Daniel. Bridging the Gap is an Applied Software Gray Tech Group production. Copyright Applied Software Gray Tech Group 2023.